Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, love that one, huh?
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it,
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio and on great stations all around the country. It is the Jim Bob Show game day edition. And Jim Bob, you want to get off on the right foot when you start the NFL season. Some of these games are tough to win. You don't want to dig a big hole. It felt like the Bears had a big shovel and they were digging that big hole, but somehow the defense had bailed them out.
Well, I'll tell you what, is that I'm not for sure what happened in the locker room at halftime, but it certainly looked like at 17-0 deficit, and the Titans had stunned everybody, including myself. Certainly was not expecting that, because I had predicted the Bears to win that game handily. But it was whatever Eberflus said. You know, he said that during the halftime that the players were great. He said that they looked at each other in the eye and they leaned in and they leaned on each other and they said, hey, we got this. And so that attitude that they came out, and it was like a different team that came out in the second half, especially defensively. Offensively, I don't have anything positive to say. I just don't. I think that the special teams stepped up. The offense really, really struggled. And the defense and special teams won that game. You know, if we see more of that offensively, boy, my predictions for the Bears and a 10-game winning season, 9-10 game, is certainly going to be in question.
Well, you think about halftime adjustments, and as a longtime career defensive player, it's one thing. Usually the defense, it's like, hey, hold him to as few points as possible, nothing if you can. But how often is it, Jim Bob, where you get in there and you just realize that, hey, offense, you're not going to help us at all. If we're going to win, the defense is going to not only need to stop them, they're going to need to score.
Well, hey, I take it back. I misspoke. The offense did convert on a two-point conversion. I forgot that. So they did help out. They did help out with the 2 points. But anyhow, Will Lewis made the biggest bonehead play. And, you know, that's how players get cut and coaches get fired. But, you know, the offense just didn't perform. Williams knows it. Eberflus knows it. They weren't very efficient. Williams definitely has to be looking at himself. He didn't perform the way that was expected. I'm sure he didn't perform the way he expected, nor the coaching staff. So we'll see how they do. We'll see how they adjust this next week, because that's going to be, you know, this will be the big test. I'm certainly a doubting Thomas on this one.
Are you as positive and as optimistic as you can be, Jim Bob, when it came to looking at that, like, well, where do the Bears go from here? Well, we know where they go to Sunday Night Football. They're going to go against the Houston Texans. This is a better team on the field, on paper, than that they had with Tennessee. And so, I mean, are they able to kind of pull it together, or is it, I don't know. What do you see from this game?
You know, I think the Bears defense, they really stepped up in that second half against Tennessee. And I didn't see anything to make me think that the offensive unit was going to show up this week. It's just, you know, like I said, I don't want to overreact, but I mean, it was just a very inefficient play. So I don't have any hopes for this week. I really don't. I think that it's potentially a lopsided victory, and I think the Bears are going to walk out of there with a loss.
You've been bringing up that highly touted receiver core that they've had a couple of injuries. We'll have to look at there to see how that works, but it could be a long night for the Bears. And so let's talk about the other team, near and dear, of course, played for the Packers with so much optimism towards what they could do, taking that next step after such a big season last year. And man, nothing. We looked at Aaron Rodgers and having his season-ending injury in that first game, and the Packers had sort of a flashback of, oh no, Let's not. It looks like Jordan Love is going to be okay. But what are you thinking for the Packers coming into week two?
You know, it doesn't look good. I mean, I don't know about Malik Willis. I mean, he's thrown for 370 yards and three interceptions in his NFL timeline. And so, I mean, what am I supposed to expect? I mean, it's unknown. It's just like, you know, going back to the Bears, you know, at Houston, which is going to be tough. I just think that the stage just got a lot bigger on the first road game for the Bears. And again, rookie quarterback, I mean, this could be a double-digit shellacking. And I just wanted to finish that thought process. I really think the Texans are going to be good. I mean, if the Bears keep it within 10, I'll be shocked. And that'll be a plus, but that's going to be a tough one. But, you know, moving on over to the Packers side, the Colts, they're tough too. I don't see the Packers prevailing at all with Malik Willis, the quarterback, but it's so unknown. I mean, you know, Matt LaFleur has a way of developing, you know, a running attack and finding some angles when you don't expect him to. So, I mean, they could keep it closer than I anticipate, but I think that the Colts are going to walk out of Green Bay with a victory. And I'm just so negative about both our teams right now, just because offensively, Jordan Love is hurt. Caleb Williams didn't perform at all, in my opinion, at all. I got to tell you, I'm not even for sure what some of these people were talking about. He shined in the second half. I didn't see it.
It was no shining. We were there in the El Bandito Yankee Wanna Parlay suite with some pretty good views. We could see it all. I didn't see any shining. And Jim Bob, your thoughts on that? Because it was one of those games where there were so many ways that Caleb Williams just looked completely confused, vexed, you know, whatever. That's all that tape is there. You got to figure the Texans are saying, let's do that.
It's more like The Shining, a horror show. It looked like a horror show. There was no shining. Amen. I mean, the only shining was the horrific horror show that we were watching. So, and I don't want to be so negative, but the fact of it is that, hey, you got to show me something. Show me something. You know, I want to understand what I'm supposed to be positive about is that listen, by the way, you know, two of our best receivers barely practiced this week. Yeah. I mean, you know, Allen's out, Lindsey's out. I mean, they didn't practice. So I don't know what that means for Sunday. So, you know, typically when you don't practice, it doesn't bear very well good news for you during the game.
You never know, there could be some game time decisions. So they may play, right? And then Jordan Love, too, may play. You never know. And so we'll see how that happens. One thing you never know, and Jim Bob, we talked about all these games in the weeks, training camp leading up, and you sort of feel like you have a gauge of who's going to be good, who's going to be bad, and then you realize, well, that's why they play the games, because, you know, your Vikings came out and overperformed, the Patriots came out and did, I mean, how do you even know?
Well, here, let me tell you something. At the beginning of the year, you know me, I was so hyped up about this because I'd watched camp, we watched the preseason, and I thought, okay, hey, you know, I felt that it was pretty good. You know, first week, should have lost that game. Will Lewis lost the game. I mean, we didn't win the game. I mean, Will Lewis gave the game away with his bonehead play. So 1-0, great. But then you got to go to Houston, and I just got to tell you, you know, as a guy who watches a lot of football, Houston wins that game. Then you got to go to Indianapolis, and the Colts are a good team. Colts win that game. Then you got, you know, the Los Angeles Rams come to town, and the Rams are very, very good.
Yes.
I mean, they should have beat Detroit. They didn't. I had them, you know, slated. You know, it's week five before we get a relief with the Carolina Panthers. And then that's what I'm saying. I mean, we could have, you know, we could be, you know, 1-4.
A lot of those Bear fans were all saying, I remember going through that schedule with many of them. They're like, well, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. You realize it's a lot harder to win than you thought. And so the Vikings are one of those teams where the NFC North, as it is today, we're like, okay, well, there's a lot of good teams, kind of discarding the Vikings because of their just general and I think pretty consistent dysfunction at the quarterback position. Man, they showed up.
We're gonna taste to see what kind of team the Vikings are. They're, you know, they got San Francisco this week, and we saw San Francisco dismantle the overhyped Jets, and Aaron Rodgers stayed healthy for at least a game, and so we'll see. I mean, you know, the Vikings, we're gonna see what kind of team they are. If they keep it close, I mean, the 49ers look so powerful, and that's without McCaffrey, okay? Right. I mean, they just dominated the Jets in every facet of the game. I wasn't impressed with the Jets. I don't like the Jets. I don't like the Jets head coach. I don't think he's a head coach. I think he's a defensive coordinator, and, you know, he's in the wrong position. And so I just think that the Jets were overhyped. And the 49ers, though, they certainly are who everybody thinks they are. They're very powerful, and they stacked it position-wise.
Think about this, and we had talked with Bill Moss, kind of breaking down the scene, and he had said, oh, the Miami Dolphins, he likes them. You like them, too, but it comes down to injuries, and everybody has talked about that. You never know what you have, especially when injuries happen, and this is one, I guess you say, you could say that you could have seen coming, you know, Tua with, it looks like, another concussion.
Yeah, it is a scary deal, and, you know, I like him as an individual, and, you know, we talk about just him as a person. I don't know what it means for him. I'm not I'm certainly not a doctor, even though, you know, I slept at a Holiday Inn or whatever last night. The fact of it is that, you know, it's not a laughing matter with this guy. Tua has to think about his health, you know, and we're talking about game-ending concussions and season-ending concussions he's had. He's had four that have been diagnosed, and who knows how many, you know, that we don't know of. And so, you know, CTE's a real deal. I mean, we've had guys on our show who suffer from the effects of CTE, and it doesn't show up right away. But, you know, we certainly, you know, we got to think about him and his protection. And I don't know. I mean, you know, he went a whole season without having a concussion. And you know, 22 was a bad year for him where he had, you know, bam, bam, back to backs. And he didn't finish out the year. But I'm worried for him personally. I am. I don't know what the league's responsibility is. I don't know what the team's responsibility is. It's him. It's his body, you know, and he's going to make the call.
Yeah, we didn't know a lot. We're learning more and more about that, the effects, the damage and everything, but we know enough to know that it isn't good, right? And then it seems to be something that he's just, this is an issue, you know, for him, and he really does have to look at it long term. Whereas, let's say the players that played with you, Jim Bob, you know, they're thinking like, well, whatever I can do to get on the field, these are my opportunities. You know that Tua's got money in the bank, and so he needs to really think about that decision. When people were thinking, one of the very few things people could agree on is that the Patriots were the worst team in the NFL. And of course, you and I, as we tried to help Bill Belichick with relationship support, you know, and getting on, I don't know, Tinder or whatever, and trying to find that.
He's barely doing okay. He's dating a 24-year-old.
Right.
You know, that's what I told you. Somebody didn't have their eye on the game plan. I mean, they had their eye on something else. I mean, so I don't know what's going on with Bill. I mean, you know,
we can imagine.
80. Yeah, right. I know. I mean, but apparently, you know, Bill's got plenty of energy. So, he needs to be doing some of those commercials. Hey, suffering with low energy?
Take it from me.
Try whatever. But hey, honestly, looking at the change of gears here and looking at this second half of what the season looks like, I mean, I am not positive, man. I got back on the negative boat, buddy. We'll see. I mean, this weekend may change things for me. But, well, you know, you start looking at the second half of the season after the bye. You know, the Arizona Cardinals, you know, they don't look as bad as they were last year. So they're improved. And then the New England Patriots, not for sure what to think about the Pats after their victory here. But, you know, that's second half of the season. You got a rough stretch. You got, you know, Green Bay, you know, Vikings, got to go to Detroit, got the 49ers, got the Vikings again, and then the Lions, and then, you know, then the Seahawks. I mean, it looks like a rough schedule. And like I said, after one game, I'm like going, man, I might have miscalculated the 10 wins.
But, you know, it's like nine lives, though, right? You see, like, oh, my gosh, we're screwed. This is a terrible season. Then you get on a roll, and then just the way that the whole playoff scenario falls into place, it's exciting. And things can be – it'll definitely be interesting. And, of course, you and I are going to talk about it each and every week and break down those games. And one thing we want to mention is that, of course, in a lot of cities around the NFL, you know, you always win with the undefeated flavor of El Bandito Yankee and our tequila tailgates with tail greeters and all that. And people should get in on there and enjoy that pregame experience and be undefeated at the tailgate.
Well, that's the way I look at it, man. I mean, we got to stay undefeated. And here's the deal. The Bears are 1-0. I've become the Downey Towns. I was the guy who was all hipped up and said, hey, 9 games, maybe 10, we're going to the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And hopefully they're going to change my mind this weekend. I get back on the positive. I'm so wrapped up in the negativity of it. Yeah. It's simply because, hey, you got to show me something. You got to, and I didn't see anything. And all I saw was Will Lewis handed us a game. Here you go. The compliments to Will Lewis. Merry Christmas.
One of the things when you say looking at it, people were looking at WANA.com, at the Bears tailgate with the bus, with tail greeter, hundreds of people getting that opportunity to check it out. And it's another way to enhance your game watching experience and get in the game with WANA Parlay. So, Jim Bob, talk a little bit about that as the season is getting going. More people, they're getting on board.
Yeah, WANA Parlay, you know, it's daily fantasy sports app that we launched, built it right here in Illinois, and we put it together and we launched it out there, and we certainly had a lot of fun with the bus and our buddy Tim Shanny and with the bus. And so WANA allows you to put your entry in for your parlay plays and a prop play and win, you know, tens of thousands, millions of dollars with the game. And so the game's pretty easy. You know, you got your daily game of the week, you got your daily game of the day, you got your pick seven, you got the major contest and so forth. So you get on it, you just see if you can pick a better parlay with however many legs you want to choose better than the next guy. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, I feel I've done pretty good, but, you know, there's always that game that throws you a curveball. And my curveball last week was Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame.
I mean, Jim Bob, who could have seen? Nobody could have seen that coming. Of course, that's why you play the games. That's what makes sports fun. But, man, that was crazy.
Yeah, man. That started the chaos in what I call college football. You know, it really did.
Well, think about this is when it comes to a guy that exemplifies all of that Bears championship and everything, but of course, you know, on one of those great, great programs, elite programs in college football as well, as we're going to be talking to today after this break, is Kevin Butler, right? It was a great opportunity to get down and share some time with Butthead.
No, man, we spent literally spent an hour talking to him. He's, I like, you know, Kevin's great, man. He's a great guy, and I like him. I mean, he was really, you know, he kind of had a defensive back mentality. You know, he played soccer. I mean, listen, here's the kicker dating the head cheerleader. You know, that, I mean, come on, that's just not how the story usually goes. I mean, it's like, yeah, well, I'm quarterback, I'm dating the head cheerleader, not kicker. but Kevin, he basically, you know, he models that swag, man. And, you know, he was such a great kicker, and what a tremendous talent he was. In college football, he was just outstanding. But, you know, some of the great things that he points out, I mean, what position in all of team sports gets scrutinized more than the kicker? He goes, you know, you're kicking 84% in all kinds of conditions and different surfaces and different places, and you're, well, he says, only 84%. We might have to cut him next week.
That's my
versus baseball, I can bat 150 and still make $17 million.
Winning on a bunch of different levels, and of course, still. And so, yeah, we'll talk.
Here's the deal: we've been talking about it. We need to be the real commentators. Well, here's Bill Johnson. This lazy SOB's batting 150, pulling down $21 million this year. Can we say overpay?
Maybe he's dating the cheerleader. I think the big paycheck would certainly help with that. We're going to talk with Kevin Butler when we come back from this. So keep it here. It's the Jim Bob Show, Game Day Edition.